Now we come to message number 27 in our study on the life of David. We're in Psalm 139, and Lord willing, today we're going to look at verses 19 through verses number 22. The Bible said in Psalm 139 and verse number 19, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." Now, our Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture, would you help us today to say what we ought to say and to say nothing that we should not say? Have your will your way in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, we come to some Scripture here that is not really positive, but it's more negative that David is stating here in Psalm 139. First of all, we look at verse number 19 in the first part of it. "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God." Now, he's saying this, that there's going to come an end to wickedness. There's going to come an end to wicked men. And God will judge wickedness. God will judge wicked men. Now, David, even in his young life, as a young boy, no doubt probably 18, 19 year old when this psalm was written, if it was written about the time that he was a shepherd, David had already seen the wickedness. No doubt he had seen it. We covered it many times. He probably even saw it in his own brothers. And yet David realized the land was full of wickedness. And David realized that wickedness was not good for land. Psalm 37 and verse number 35 says this, "I have seen the wicked in great power." And boy, we see that today, right? "And spreading himself like a green bay tree." The Bible said, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Now, David, first of all, said this. He said, "I've seen the wicked in great power." Now, we see that in our nation. We see that if you study your Bible, you'll find that we fight against principalities and powers. Ladies and gentlemen, I may say some things sometimes that sound rebuking, but my enemy is not the church down the street, the fundamental Bible preaching church down the street. My enemy is not the fundamental Bible preaching preacher down the street. My enemy ought to be the devil, and ought to fight the devil according to the Bible with spiritual warfare. You cannot win a battle against the devil physically. I want you to understand that. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never win a battle against the devil in this country. Now, I'm going to say some things here, probably going to make some folk riled up a little, but you'll never win a battle in this country by talk radio. I want you to understand that. Talk radio will never solve the moral issues of America. It never will. Debate does not help anything. I tell you what, this new crowd of preachers that's on the scene, they're younger than me, and I love all of you men, and I want to help you, and I want to be there for you. But let me tell you, fellas, you've come out of Bible college, and I don't know where you've learned all this stuff about debating, but debating will get you nowhere. I want you to understand that. The preaching of the Bible, just keep doing what we're doing, preaching, praying, singing, shouting. That's what we got to do. We realize the wicked are in great power, but how much have we prayed about it? How much have we took the weapons of Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer in the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation? Have we took these weapons and fit the devil in them? We're living in a wicked day. You don't need me to come on the radio and tell you that. I don't even need to waste dollars of time to tell you we're in a wicked day. But friend, everybody wants to tell you how bad it is, but nobody wants to seem to tell you the answer to it. Here's the answer in the Bible. Our weapons are not carnal. The Bible said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, our weapons are prayer. Our weapons are the Bible. Our weapons are on our knees. And when we pray, you see, what happens is through the television programs and all the stuff that's going on today, we've opened the door for devils and demons to oppress the children of God. Now, they're not possessive of the children of God. A saved person cannot be possessed with the devil. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But we open the door for the demons and the devils to oppress us. And some of these devils and demons can only be cured by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, I want to say this. Fasting is not giving up your television for a week. Fasting is not giving up your deer hunting for a week. Fasting is not giving up going shopping for a week. That's not fasting. I hear preachers all the time say, well, you can give this up and give that. I don't know where you got that stuff, but fasting is going without food. That's plain and simple. That's what fasting is. There's no other word in the English language for fasting. That's it right there, okay? It's not giving up something else. And the very thing that we need to be giving up, we shove it off in the corner and say, I'll give a shopping trip up, or I'll give a hunting trip up, or I'll give a fish trip. Listen, God don't want that. There's something about the food. God wants you to very chasten your very soul with it. Amen. And if you're not going to do it right, God's not going to honor that. Okay? So God don't honor giving up your golf game. God honors doing what He said in the Bible. Now, I don't mean that mean, but I'm just simply telling you, we say what a wicked day we're in. Well, you're right, brother. We're in a dangerous hour in this country. But we can fix it if we want to fix it. A lot of preachers don't want to fix it. A lot of people don't want to fix it. But we can fix it. Now, here's David. So, we see on in verse number 12, the Bible said in Psalm 37, verse number 12, the Bible said, the wicked plotteth against the just and gasheth upon him with his teeth. Psalm 37, 13 says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Now, the Lord will judge the wicked. Amen? He will. And we just read one more verse here in verse number 14 of Psalm 37. The Bible said, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Now, the wicked's idea is to get rid of the righteous. Did you know that? Just the other day, one of our top official came out making fun of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, it used to be 50 years ago, the Christians were the majority in America. We're not the majority anymore. You better understand that there are people that want to get rid of old time preaching. There are people that don't like preaching. There are people that want to get it off the radio. They want to get off the TV. They want to close down the churches. And if you don't think that, then you got your head in the sand somewhere. We're living in a wicked day. We're living in a wicked hour. And we've got to learn to fight the battles of the Lord spiritually. We've got to learn that. Now, let's go back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse number 19, the latter part of it. He says, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. David said, I don't want anything to do with you men that have blood in your eyes. You men that commit murder. I don't have anything. No doubt, men gathered themselves and probably surrounded. I mean, David probably had to fight bands of Philistines and bands of sheep stealers and all kinds of. And David said, I don't want you bloody men around me. And by the way, you get the wrong kind of people around you and they'll sink you. Amen. You hang around the worldly crowd and they'll sink you, brother. Amen. You better be careful about that, who you hang around. You show me who your friends are and I'll show you how close you're living to the Lord. Amen. I promise you that. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, you say, well, I've got a friend. I was sitting in a church one night, and me and my wife were visiting, and a few rows back, there was a woman sitting there. She didn't know I heard what she said. But she said, oh, I've got friends of mine, and she said, they go out and drink. Well, friend, if you hang around friends like that for long, you'll be a drinking. And you say, preacher, I'd never do it. Well, let me tell you something. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You see, you got to teach a kid to do right, not to do wrong. You got to teach a person to do right. I mean, it is our flesh. It is our nature in this old flesh to do wrong. You hang around the wrong kind of people and you will be, you'll think the wrong kind of things. You'll be into the wrong kind of things. You take a preacher that hangs around the wrong kind of preachers and brother, before you know it, he'll ruin his church. If you take a preacher that studies after liberals and follows the new contemporary movement, before long his church will be contemporary. You are who you follow, brother. I follow men like Sattler and Green and old men that stayed with the stuff. And you young people, you say, we want to get away from that. We don't want that kind of church. I tell you right now, you're missing the power of God, and you'll never solve the problems in this country with this new fangled Christianity that's come on the scene. Amen. Now, let me go on. Psalm 139. And now, notice this. When men speak against the Lord, they have nothing good to say. But I'm going to show you verse number 20. Psalm 139, verse number 20. For they speak against thee wickedly. Let me back up. For they speak against thee, talking about God, wickedly. All right? Now, when men speak against God, when men speak against the Lord, it is always a lie. Because there's nothing bad to say about God. When men speak against Jesus Christ, it is always a lie. Because they have nothing good. You can't say anything bad about God. When you say the Bible causes division, that is a lie. This Bible causes unity. This Bible puts people together. It does not drive people apart. This Bible takes the sin out. Amen. Sin causes division. The devil majors on division. The devil, when the devil took his math test, he got 100 on division. Amen. The devil majors in division. God majors in multiplication and plus. The devil majors in minus and division. Amen. Now let me say to you today that the devil is majoring in that kind of stuff. Matthew chapter number 26, we find that Jesus is hanging on the cross or getting ready to go to the cross. And he's, I'll just read to you verse number 59 of Matthew 26. The Bible said, now the chief priest and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. Now wait a minute. They couldn't find anything to say about this man who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who saved many to salvation, lifted people out of the gutter, changed lives for the good, and they couldn't find anything to get him on. You see, some folk want to just get people. That's what they want to do. They want to get you. So that's they sought. Now notice the Bible. They sought false witnesses. They looked for somebody that would tell a lie. Now can I just say that our courtrooms are packed with people that tell lies. Did you know that? Our lawyers, our judges, a lot of them, not all of them are bad. But a lot of our lawyers and judges, they feed on lies and money in our courtroom. Let me tell you what it's doing. It is overthrowing our land. It's overthrowing America. You can say what you will, but the lies that are being told, the lies that are being told about Christianity, the propaganda machines are running wide open in America. They're on the 24-hour day news. They're in the universities of America. If we as the United States government would say, hey, you can bring your liberal professors in, but we're going to cut your federal dollars off, I'll guarantee you'd see a difference in what would happen in our university. But you know what's happening today is, That our young people are sitting under this stuff and they're being brainwashed against the Bible and old time religion. I've never seen so much rebellion against old time religion. Can I say that I was raised a fundamental independent Baptist? I was raised believing the King James Bible. I believed that Sunday was the Lord's day and that you ought to go to the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And you know, I'm 57 and I've not turned out too bad, I don't think. I mean, I'm not a good fella. I'm not sinless, but I'm not a heathen either. And I'm not rebelling against that I was taught in the house of God. I don't understand people that go away, they rebel about the things that they've been taught. I don't live by that. I don't have to live by that. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I think a lot of these folk are lost. And they've never been saved to start with. I'm afraid in the Baptist church, we have counted a bunch of professions that ain't got possession. Amen. I'm going to say it today without apology on the radio. When you get saved, if you do not change, you didn't get saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If those things did not become new in your life, you did not get saved. Amen. God did not have to take the man in Mark chapter 5 and run him through 2 years of rehabilitation before he got right with God. When that man got saved, he got instantly delivered from over 2,000 devils. Amen. I'll leave that right there. I'm going to move on. Amen. I love all of you. But I'm telling you that they sought false witnesses against them. They couldn't find anything good to say. So now, let me show you Matthew 26:60. The Bible said, but found none. They sought for somebody that would lie, but they couldn't find nobody. The Bible said, yea, Though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. Now, in other words, their stories wouldn't line up. They couldn't. But now watch this. At the last, the devil's always got a final say. At the last come two false witnesses. At the last, they finally got two false witnesses to come at the last against the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say, the world will testify against you falsely. The world's going to say things. The world says things about me. I've had things said about me that are ridiculous. I've had things said about my wife that are ridiculous. Amen. I just don't even pay them any attention. I mean, friend, if you go by what people say about you, you'll never do anything for God. Our problem today is we want to be popular. Our problem today is our preachers, we're afraid if we preach the truth in love, not hateful, but if we preach the truth in love, we're afraid we won't get that meeting, or we won't get that mission support, or we won't get this and that. We talk about the politics in Washington. Our churches are filled with politics. They're filled with it. And brother, we're never going to win the battle against sin and immorality until we get on the same page and get in the Bible and find out what the Bible says about immorality. Amen. It is the day. Preachers, if you have ever preached in love, right now is the day that you are to preach. Amen. If you've ever cried against sin, right now is the day you ought to be crying against sin. I'm going to say this again. And I go vote. I think it's every citizen's right and responsibility to go vote. I believe in that. I believe you ought to vote in every election. I believe if they're electing a possum to the school board, you ought to go vote for it or against it. Amen. I'm not talking about some man either. I'm talking about whatever they put up for election, you ought to go vote. But wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Politics is not going to solve the problems in America. It never has, and it never will. They argued even in the days of our Constitution. And it was only when they prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God swooped in and fixed the United States Constitution. The Constitution is not a perfect document. Now let me say something here. I'm out in deep water for some of you. The Constitution of the United States was not inspired by God. Now I want you to listen to me. Hold on a minute. I believe in that document. I believe in what it says. I'm for it. I don't think we ought to change it. I believe in its original formality. I believe that we ought to put judges on the bench that will interpret it, not add to it. Amen. Or take away from it. But I want to say to you again, it is not as holy as the Bible. And you got to remember that imperfect man came up with that. And now, is there going to be fussing and fighting in Washington? Sure they are. They always have been. They always will be. But ladies and gentlemen, I say to you that we can have godly politicians. And I believe some godly men ought to run for office. I believe some men ought to step up. I believe some of you men ought to step up and run for office and do what's right. You ought to run for your school boards. It's a shame how we've turned the public schools over to the devil. It's a shame how we've done that. It's a shame. I say it again, it's a shame how we've done that. We have done it. The church people have done it. The Christians have done it. The Bible-toting Christians have done it. We've sat by and turned our counties over to a bunch of heathens and turned our towns over to a bunch of heathens. And we ought to be standing for what's right. But, when you say something about the Lord against the Lord, you got to say a lie, because there ain't nothing bad to say about God. Nothing. God's never done anything bad. God's never done anything bad wrong. God's never committed sin. He's never one time done us wrong. Now, let's notice on verse number 20, Psalm 139, verse number 20, the Bible said, "And thine enemies take thy name in vain." Well, you've never lived in a day when people really don't fear God and they cuss God like they are. Now, it's bad enough when you take God's name in vain, but up until a few years ago, I'd never heard anybody take Jesus' name in vain. I heard it one night, a nurse in a hospital about midnight, a little bit after midnight, I was in the hospital, I heard a nurse take the name of Jesus in vain. It shocked me. I'd never heard anything like that. I guess I've been living in a hole. My friend, let me tell you one thing today. You do not take the God of heaven in vain. There used to be a time in America, the devil's took the word out of my mouth. We reverenced him as being the creator. And see, what happened is we put evolution in our schools, and we've raised a bunch of people that believe they come from monkey. And if you believe you come from a monkey, you don't have no fear of God anyhow. Why, these young people have no fear of the Lord today. And I'll tell you this, grandma and grandpa don't have much fear of the Lord either. If you had fear of God, you wouldn't be riding your boat on Sunday. You'd be in church on Sunday. Amen. You wouldn't be vacating 6, 7, 8 times a year. You'd be in the house of God trying to get your local church to go. It's sad that churches are dying on the vine while people are pleasuring. Even preachers are doing it. And they're just leaving the churches and they're dying on the vine, brother. And I tell you what, the church is the most neglected thing we have now. And we just neglect. But anyway, men taking God's name in vain. Oh, my friend, listen, the Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, you say, preacher, that's under the law. You need to quit trying to pick the Bible apart and start trying to live by the Bible. Amen. Now, we don't live by the ceremonial law. We don't live by the Mosaic law as far as we've been under that. But there is doctrine in every verse. In chapter number 20 of the book of Exodus, verse number 7, the Bible said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. By the way, that's for the church age too. Amen. For the Lord, and that's capital letters in my Bible, it is in yours too, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You will stand before God, even you Christians that call on the Lord's name when you ain't meaning the Lord. I've heard preachers do it. I've heard preachers get in the pulpit and use the name of the Lord when they're not talking about the Lord. Brother, when our pastors do it, how much more are our people going to do it? Amen? Brother, we need to stop and think about what we're saying. We really do. We need to stop and think about what we're saying. We need to clean our talk up. I tell you, a lot of it comes to these dirty little 30-minute TV programs that people have been listening to for a generation. Amen. Throw that stuff away. Get it off your TV. Get it out of your house. Amen. You say, when I'm a preacher, you're just being mean. No, sir. I'm telling you that David wanted to separate himself from... Listen, David was getting ready to be king of Israel. And David could not be king and separate and have wicked men around him. You see what wicked men have done to our country. You see what they've done, don't you? I mean, when our country associates with all kinds of wickedness, and brother, there is wickedness in high places, you see what it's doing to our nation, right? Amen. So, that's what these men were doing. And David said, I'll have no part of that. I don't know part of wicked men being around me that's going to take God's name in vain. By the way, you shouldn't let anybody sit in your house and cuss. Amen. You shouldn't let anybody sit around you and just cuss and call the Lord's name in vain. You should either get away from it or say something to them, amen, in a nice way about it. I mean, listen, friend, the world today has no fear of God. But I tell you why. It's because the church folk have no fear of God. I mean, a man go down on his job, he'll sing in the choir on Sunday morning and cuss on his job on Monday and bet on the car race the next week on the job. Now you say, preacher, who are you preaching to? You, if you're guilty. My friend, I'm just telling you that we go down there, we'll sing in the choir on Sunday, and look at some dirty picture of some woman through the week down on the job. Somebody will. Amen. Or we'll gamble, or we'll enter something that ain't godly. And they'll say, well, the people of the church won't never find that out. Let me tell you something, God knows about it, brother. God knows what's going on. I'm just saying to you that wicked men were everywhere. David said, I'll have no part of that. I don't know part of that crowd that's going to call the Lord's name in vain. Don't want that. Amen. Boy, I don't want to take the name of my Lord in vain. Do you? Amen. No, sir. I don't want to now. Number 5, I want to give you this one. You're going to think I'm really being mean, I guess, today, but I'm just giving you the Bible. Psalm 139, verse number 21. The Bible said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Now, when he's saying that, he don't mean that he's hating them in the sense of, in other words, he hates what they're doing. He hates them with a perfect hate, a righteous hatred, a holy hatred. It's not a hatred like an I hate Sam over there. We're not to hate sinners, but we are to hate them that stand against God. Let me tell you something. The church better realize that we've got some enemies out there. Now we peddle this lovey-dovey Christianity stuff, and I'm going to tell you something. We're so weak right now that if we got in a war, we'd lose it. I mean, that's evident. Just now, I preach these messages a few months ahead, but I usually don't talk about current events, but I'm going to say something here. You know, a few weeks ago, Israel was attacked. Now, everybody remembers that. And by the way, the things that people did, I wouldn't even mention them on this radio broadcast, some of the things that were done against Israel. Israel went in to retaliate to get things right, and the news media is just putting them in the mud for it. Oh, but they're attacking this one and they're attacking that. Let me tell you something. You better wake up and realize what war is, friend. Now you can sit in Geneva or Switzerland or somewhere, and you can make these laws about war. But let me tell you something. Isn't it amazing that the enemy never goes by the laws? And I believe the United States ought to try to fight wars by international law. I believe we ought to try to do it right. I believe we should. But I'm going to say this to you, friend, that war has not been on our shores. And some of you would not know how to act. We're living in such a weak, weak hour. We're living in such a weak, weak day. Our preachers are weak. Our people are weak. Our military is weak. We're living in such a weak day. I mean, David said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. In other words, we're to get back to hating evil again. Psalm 101, verse number 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let me tell you something. If you watch wickedness continually, it'll cleave to you. Wickedness is everywhere. Listen, you cannot turn the television on nowadays without wickedness being on the TV. You can't do it. Amen. I mean, liquor and alcohol and beer is running through our country. It's in our churches. It's sad that people that go to a fundamental Bible-believing church believe it's okay to drink. Let me tell you, it ain't. It's a sin to drink. Amen. It's a sin to have the wine in your refrigerator. Amen. That evil stuff is cleaved to you. It's a sin, the nakedness that is portrayed and the dirty thoughts that is portrayed on television now. And what people have access to and what they can go watch right in their living rooms. Brother, the devil has put an all-out attack. And here's the problem. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. David said, I hate that. He said, it's not going to cleave to me. We're going to have to hate sin, brother. Do we hate sin enough, preachers, to preach against the liquor industry and the alcohol and the liquor by the drink? Why, some of you preachers, when liquor by the drink came up in your community, you wouldn't even stand against it. You know why? You had prominent people in your churches that was for that stuff, and you didn't want to offend them. You'd rather have the money than the morals. God deliver us. God help us. I'm just telling the truth. Amen. I'd rather have morals than to have money. I'd rather live right and have my kids live right and not bring all that liquor stuff. This next generation of young preachers, I'd rather see you live right, fellas. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, David had a hatred for sin. Now David at a young age, he said, I hate them that hate thee. In other words, I'm taking sides here, Lord, and them that's against you, I'm against them. You know, there used to be a time the church was against wickedness. Used to be a time the church stood against wickedness. We didn't have gambling. I'm going to go ahead and say something right here. It's probably going to get me in a lot of trouble. But we brought gambling into the Independent Baptist Church. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me say this to you. When you have a drawing and you put a dollar in for a drawing, same thing as playing the lottery. It's the same principle, friend. You can say what you want to, but it's all in our fundamental churches now. Oh, preacher, you're just being... No, sir, I'm telling you the truth. We don't want to hate sin anymore. We want a pattern after the world. We want to do after... We don't have to have... Let me back up. We don't have to operate our Bible-believing churches the way the world does. You say, preacher, we have to do that to get the crowd. Then let the crowd go, but stay with God. Stay with God. Do what God says do. Do what's right, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hate sin. Amen. Don't let it cleave to you. Well, preacher, everybody's doing it. You remember that fellow over there, that king that went to Syria and saw that altar and brought it back and had that man to build the altar, the pattern after that one that he saw. Now, first of all, their gods didn't deliver them. They got defeated, but he took their altar back and wanted to use it. Brother, let me tell you something. The God's going to put the devil in the lake of fire and all the demons and all the worldly crowds going to die and go to hell without God, all those that ain't saved. And why in the world would we want to pattern our churches after a defeated enemy? Our churches ought to be godly. Our churches ought to be holy. We as God's people ought to stand holy and live. You don't hear this kind of preaching anymore. And the devil told me I ought to quit preaching this way. He said, you just need to quit preaching like that because said people don't like to hear that. And he said, people turn you off. But let me say this to you, friend. If you turn this kind of preaching off, that's between you and God. It'll be a testament. Now God knows if you get to your destination, you flip the radio off. But God also knows if you get mad and turn it off. God knows that too. You know, I'd be afraid to turn the preacher off when he's preaching the truth. I'm just going to say to you that we need to hate sin. We don't have enough hatred, amen, to hate sin, amen. Job chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now we all love Job, don't we? And that man was perfect. That means he was mature and upright. And that means he walked right. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means that he turned aside from it. He departed from it. He didn't sit and watch the dirty television programs. He didn't get the filthy language in his mind. He departed. Now, I'm not talking about being better than somebody else. I'm not talking about this crowd that preaches it and don't live it, okay? I've heard about men preaching how people ought to dress and how women ought to dress and then their wife don't dress right. Listen, you'd call that a hypocrite. I believe anything we preach on, I believe we ought to. Anything we preach, I believe we ought to try to live it. Amen? Amen, that's right. I believe we ought to try to live right, and I believe we ought to try, amen, to live for God. Amen, I believe we ought to be as clean as we can, but I'm not talking about being better people. Listen, lost people don't know any better. They need to get saved. But I tell you, a child of God knows better. Amen, and we're to depart. I'm talking to Christian people. We're to depart from the wickedness, amen. You'd be surprised at the preachers that tell dirty jokes. Some of you women would be appalled. You would be upset if you knew what the pastors tell about women in the congregation of the churches. Now, if you preachers ain't afraid to do it, I ain't afraid to tell on you. Amen? Listen, I don't talk that way. You don't hear me talking dirty about women. You never have. You never will. Amen? That's right. You say, well, that's because you're blind. Well, then thank God for making me blind. Amen? Maybe you'd be better off God put you blind. I hope not. I hope you don't do that. But I'm just simply telling you, amen, that we are to hate sin. We're to come out again. You young preachers, you're not to be a Pharisee, and you're not to be ugly with people, okay? You're not Elijah. I want you young college students to know, you young men, you're not Elijah. You're not going out and pound the pulpit and tell them how bad they are. But in the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to preach against sin. And don't let this crowd tell you, well, if you preach against sin, you won't get a church. No, you may not be the most popular stick in the growing on the tree. But I'll tell you one thing. You'll be God's stick he can use. Amen. And when God goes to looking for a servant, God goes to look for those that fear him. Amen. Well, I love you. I'm not mad at nobody now. Amen. All right, now let's notice another one here. He said in verse number 21, he said, am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? The psalmist said, I'm not, I agree. The word greed means to loathe or disdain. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are we grieved with the world? Does the world bother you? Somebody said, well, now, preacher, you know nobody lives by that stuff anymore. I want to say something to you. You, my friend, if you make that statement, you're a traitor on the Bible. Let me tell you something. We're not to learn better than what our fathers preached to us. Men of God taught separation, and we're to be separate. We're to look different than the world. We're to act different than the world. We have to do that. Our dress is to be different. Our demeanor is to be different. Amen. Our appetite, our diet, and I'm not talking about physical food, but I mean what we desire. Our desires ought to be different than the world. It's sad. One fellow said the church had got so worldly, and the world got so churchy, you can't tell the difference. My friend, let me tell you something. It's sad when the world feels at home in our churches. We have let our standards down to quote-unquote get them in. Well, preacher, we got to let down to get them in. Just let them come on in. What good is it, my friend? A lot of them have made false professions, and they're going to die lost from a church pew because we're not preaching hell hot and sin black, amen, and heaven sweet. Brother, we've got to preach something if we want to have something, amen. It's not a time to quit preaching. It's a time to start preaching. Our world, our country is going, my friend, the Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Now think about something. Think about something. I've been a preacher now. I'm into my 40th year of preaching. Brother, when I started preaching in 1984, you didn't hear people going in shooting people. You didn't hear, there was even, I know a church in our community, even in 1984, left its doors unlocked. You wouldn't do that now. You'd have all kinds of alarm systems. Drugs wasn't running up and down our country 40 years ago. You'll know what happened. Our men went off to seminary and learned how to preach, and they failed to preach against sin. And some of our fundamental, independent Baptist churches, I could call the names, I won't do that, they taught their college students, well, if you preach against sin, you won't have anywhere to preach. Friend, I preach against sin, and I've got all the preaching I can do. I've got more preaching than I've got ability physically to do. Now, I'm not mad at anybody. God knows I'm not. You know I'm not. If you listen to me on the radio, you know that I don't hate people. You know that I don't hate preachers. I don't hate churches. I just believe, friend, the answer to America is to preach again. The answer to America is to preach, ladies and gentlemen. Preaching is what will turn people. We'd rather have anything now. Now, David said his greed. Are we grieved? The Bible said, by the way, are we grieved at sin? Let me just ask you, does alcohol grieve you? Does liquor and beer? Well, now, preacher, you got to accept it. Who said I had to accept it? Who said I got to accept it, friend? When I watched my uncle, thank God that he got saved, but he grew up, he drunk the sugar out of the homemade liquor glasses at 4 years old and was one of the biggest drunks in our area. And I watched that poor man probably die a premature death because of his body had been ruined by alcohol. I seen my daddy be a drunk. They were so mean. My uncle would shoot the streetlights out in the town. I mean, they're as mean as a devil. Why? Why should I uphold alcohol? Tell me why I ought to. Why should I go sit in a restaurant where the bar is? Why should I do that? Why? Why? When it sent people to hell. It said orphans and little boys, no clothes, and mamas being beat at night, homes being busted up, people being killed. Why should I uphold alcohol? Tell me why I ought to uphold that. For a stinking, filthy dollar? No, sir, friend. No, sir. I ought to be grieved at it. Should I not be grieved at pornography? Ungodliness, filthiness, naked women on the TV, half-naked women. Should that not grieve me? Should that not bother me? Should it not bother me when women come to church half-dressed? Should that not bother you? Should you not be grieved at that? Amen? Should you not be grieved at the long hair on these boys? Like a bunch of rebellious hippies? Won't get a haircut? Should we as fundamentalists, should we not be grieved? Should we not be grieved when somebody stands and reads out of another version of the Bible? And yet we say, well, I tune old brother so-and-so in because he gives some good things. Friend, I don't eat a biscuit from the septic tank. And as Oliver Green said on that subject, you can take it up with him when you get to heaven, he's already there. He said, I don't eat out of a garbage dump. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to get back to letting some things bother us. There ought to be some things that bother you. You're saying, now, preacher, you're a legalist. You're a Pharisee. Let me say, first of all, I'm not a legalist. I don't believe that you have to keep the law to go to heaven. So, my friend, if you say I'm a legalist, you're telling a lie on me. And secondly, I'm not a Pharisee. Those were under the Jewish law, and they added their own customs. I'm not adding my customs to the Bible. The Bible's grieved with alcohol. The Bible's grieved with nakedness. The Bible is grieved with cussing. The Bible is grieved with gambling. The Bible is grieved with sinning. Amen. I mean, it grieves God. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. David said, I'm grieved with sin. Your sins bother me. I don't know if they were playing pool down the Bethlehem pool hall. I don't know if they were betting on which sheep had crossed the brook first. I don't know what they were doing. But David said, I'm grieved at a young age. I mean, I'm talking 18-year-old boy. David said, I'm grieved with sin. God give us across America tonight, today and tonight, this day. God give us some young men, 18-year-old men, 18-year-old girls that will be grieved at sin. God help us to raise a generation that will be grieved at sin. God help a generation to listen to this radio preacher and rise up and say, I will not participate in the sins of this world. I'm going to be grieved at those sins. I'm going to be bothered by those sins. There used to be a time when shacking up and living together bothered us. There used to be a time we didn't promote that in our churches. There used to be a time we didn't say, well, it's a marital situation. It's a sin, my friend. Long before the Supreme Court said it's okay for the same sex to marry, God put his displeasure on that. Brother, that's not political, that's Bible. Amen. I say to you today, long before that, long before man put his pleasure on men and women living together without being married, God said it's wrong. John the Baptist lost his head for preaching on adultery. And that woman at the well got rebuked for living with a man. Oh, my friend, we're living in a day and our adultery was rebuked in John 8. And that Jesus looked at that woman and said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But he's telling her, don't you go, but don't you sin no more. Don't get back in this again. My friend, I'm not mean. I'm not hateful. I think a man that loves you will preach like this. I'm grieved at our sins today. I'm grieved at the sins of, it's not the worldly crowd, the reason we've lost America. If Roloff were here today, he'd be preaching the same thing I'm preaching. Some of y'all didn't like him then, you don't like me now, I don't guess, but I love you. There's not a, you wouldn't believe, matter of fact, today I'm recording this message, after a while, by the grace of God, after a while, I'll go back where nobody is. And I'll pull a list out. I'll pull a book out this day by the grace of God. And I'm going to pray for preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher and church after church after church after church. And you can't say Brother Cothran hates me. I'm praying we'll have revival. And brother, if we have revival, we're going to get out of some of the sinning business. Amen. I know this, but the Bible said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, you're not manifesting the love of God if you love this world. The things have got people today. I've never seen a time people vacate from the house of God like they do. People have got money, so they go here and they go, there's going to come a day your money's going to fail. There's going to come a day you won't be running up to the beach and down to the mountains and laying out of the house of God 6 weeks a year. There's going to come a day all that's going to stop. And when it does and the bombs start falling like they are over here in the Middle East and people are dying, I guarantee you this, you won't take a vacation and leave the house of God then. Brother, my church ought to be, is important. Church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Sunday night service is just about a thing of the past now. I want to ask you a question. All you folk that are sitting at home on Sunday night, what do you do on Sunday night? What do you do when you used to 40 years ago go to the house of God, but you don't go anymore? Do you realize that you've cut your spiritual growth by a third? If you stay at home on a Sunday night, you've cut your spiritual growth. But we want less preaching and less preaching. We need more preaching and more preaching and more preaching and more preaching and more preaching. Amen. Don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, you're not 100% sure you're right now. Amen. All right, now let's look at number 7, Psalm 139, verse number 22. He said this. He said, I hate them with perfect hatred. Now that word perfect means complete. It does not mean that he hates them in the sense of that he wants to see anything bad happen to them. You know what the idea is here? Knowing their end is judgment. We ought to hate the work of evil men knowing that they're going to die and go to hell without God. My wife said to me just yesterday, she was telling me about what a certain person, a certain liberal, and I don't call names on the radio at all, but a certain liberal had made a pretty bad statement about the Bible. And my wife was telling me about this statement. She was reading me about this statement. And this is what my wife said. This is what she said. You know, that person's going to end up in hell if they, you know, in other words, if they don't trust God, they don't get saved. That my wife was saying, look, I feel bad for that person. I feel bad for them that hell's going to be their home. Why, listen, the liberals can't be our enemies in the sense of that we hate them. We want to see them go to hell. No, sir, we want to see them get saved. But we cannot partake in what they partake of. We cannot partake in some of this stuff that's being shoved down our throats of the churches and the Bible-believing Christians that is not Bible. We cannot back up on the Bible just because Washington's backed up on it. In 1973, when a bunch of liberals on the Supreme Court said that abortion was all right, it never did make it legal. And when they say some of this other stuff is legal, it don't make it legal. My friend, we've got to stand for what's right. Amen. We got to hate sin with a perfect hatred. Our problem today is we just want to, you know, we want to love sin. Well, you know, we can rehabilitate them. Rehabilitation is not taught in the Bible. Brother, salvation is taught in the Bible. Get saved. Come to God. Not a profession so they can count you in a prayer letter. Amen. A possession so that you'll know you've been saved by the grace of God. When you get saved, you ought to know you've been saved. We've got a lot of people doubting their salvation. Now, there's two things happens if you doubt. Number one, we do have people that have doubt. I'm not against you. For in my early years, and the devil even in my later years, has made me doubt sometimes. But wait a minute. Sometimes it boils down to a case of you've never been saved in the first place. Sometimes it boils down to you made some little profession that you want to hang on to that mama talked you into. Brother, let me tell you, when I got saved, mama didn't talk me into it. Daddy didn't talk me into it. When I got saved, I knew I was saved. We ought to hate these with a perfect hatred. We ought to hate those that are against Christ with a, not hate them in the sense of hate. I'm not having my right vocabulary to explain what I'm saying here. I don't hate anybody. But we ought to hate what they're doing. We ought to hate them, what they stand for. We ought to hate them, you see, knowing that the judgment is coming. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, friend, we've got to decide whose side we're on. Amen. Now, verse 22, it says, I count them mine enemies. I count them mine. Now, he said this, those that are against God, I count them my enemies. Well, I think the church ought to take a good look at who the enemy is today. I think the church is trying to rehabilitate everybody. I think we're trying to win the country by conservatism. And I tell you what we ought to be doing is trying to win the country by prayer and preaching. We ought to be thundering out against sin. We ought to cry against alcohol. We ought to cry against immorality and immoral living and sex outside marriage and the relationship of man and man and woman and woman. We ought to cry against that and say, hey, the Bible says it's wrong. By the way, I think this. We ought to be teaching creation more. Yes, sir. I don't think we laugh at it when we teach it. We laugh at it. Listen, it ain't a laughing matter in your churches anymore. If you're going to send your young people to a secular college, you had better teach what the Bible says about creation before they go there. You'd be surprised how many people that go to church that sit on the pew that believe that the earth is 200 or 300 million years old. That ain't in the Bible. There is no gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I don't have to say, well, I think there might be. There might be room for that. No, sir. I'm not giving room to the evolutionist and the devil's crowd. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth is without form and void and darkness somewhere on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Let me tell you something. I believe my Bible. And I believe every word in my Bible. And brother, if you have to send your kids to secular college, you had better teach them that God created this world and the world's about 6,000 years old. That's it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Amen. Don't get in the pulpit and be wishy-washy about it, afraid you're going to offend Mr. Moneybags and Sister Give It All Jaw and all that mess. Brother, preach the Word of God. Preach it in love. Love people. I was preaching somewhere the other night. I didn't even realize there's some little kids there in the service. And a little kid come up, a little girl waved at me. She probably wasn't 10 years old. I said, hey, come here, young lady. And I talked to her a little bit. And then her little sister come up and I talked to her. And I told the deacon when we walked off, I said, right there, I said, you need to make friends, these little kids. Brother, let me tell you something. Don't treat kids like they're not important. Amen. Kids are important. And brother, you ought to love them. I love the little kids. Amen. I thank God for them. I got little kids. I got a little boy that listens to me. He used to. I don't know if he still does or not. He'd get my messages and listen to them every night at bedtime. He'd put them on. That's the way he'd go to sleep. Amen. And the way I preach, I put people to sleep real good. That's all right. Amen. I love that little boy. Thank God that that's an honor, boy. Listen. I'm not saying we ought to go around with hate in our heart and burn buildings down. You know I'm not talking about that. That's not at all what the Bible's talking about here. But he's talking about that we ought to stand against sin. We ought to stand against what's wrong, brother. And we ought to draw a line between what's wrong and right. The lines have been drawn blurred. You'd be surprised how the devil has attacked many families in the Baptist church today. And then many people turn bitter because their kids turn to sin. You shouldn't turn bitter. You ought to turn on your knees, Mom and Daddy. If your kid has turned out to be something besides a Bible-believing Christian and you was in church, now's the time to get on your knees. Now's not the time to blame the church and blame the Bible and blame the preacher. You need to confess some bitterness in your life and get right with God, my friend. Oh, yes, my friend. Amen. Listen, he said, I count them mine enemies. Now, James chapter 4, I'm reading to you from the King James Bible. James chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now wait a minute, I didn't say that. Now the Bible did. Now when he's talking about adultery and adulteress, he's talking about spiritual adultery. That means if you claim to be a Christian and you got a foot in the world and you're drinking on the side and cussing on the side and having an immoral affair on the side, you're an adulterer, an adulteress. And God said, if you're a friend with this world, you're an enemy with God. Now I'm going to put it to you this way. Demas was an enemy to God. Demas brought shame on God. Demas is down there in a Roman prison. His name meant popular. I don't know if he's into politics or what he was. But Paul made an indictment against him that stuck on him forever. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was in love with what's going on. Do you people not realize that this world's going to pass away? You say, preacher, I've just got to go see this sign. I've got to leave church 8 and 10 times a year. I've got to see the sights of America. Do you know that God's going to burn all this mess up one of these days? Do you know you're going to stand in judgment and some of this money you use traveling around the world, you could have supported missionaries? Oh, but now, preacher, that's just how God only lets us live one time. Well, you don't know much about your Bible, do you? You don't just live one time. If you're saved, you live forever. And there's a millennial coming, and there's an eternity coming. And how you live in this world determines how you're going to live in the next world. Is that not preached in your church? Oh, preacher, I just live one time. Well, you don't know your Bible very well. You don't just live one time. If you're saved, you're going to live eternally. Now, if you're not saved, the pleasure you have in this world is the only pleasure you're going to get. So I guess you might as well leave it up to you come to God, but you need to get saved. But what I'm saying to you is, friend, that we need to listen. We need to realize that we don't need to partake. Listen, I'm going to say it like this. Let me explain being an enemy to this world. When you as a Christian go down and have your picture tucked in the winery, you're having your picture taken with the enemy. Amen. Wine is an enemy to God. When you have a wedding in a winery and you're saved and you're born again, that's an enemy with God. Amen. That's right. Amen. It is. Amen. When you look like the world and act like the world and you have the dancing and all this at your wedding, that means you're an enemy to God. You can be saved and be an enemy to God. Now, I'm preaching hard. I'm preaching it truth. Some people ain't going to like it. Amen. But I tell you right now, friend, we need to realize who is God's friend and who's God's enemy. We have catered this world so much that we've become enemies of God. My friend, when you take up for the liberals and you put these liberals in office, you're an enemy to God. Amen. I mean, listen, friend, when you switch Bibles and you go off into these other versions that you say can be easily understood, the Bible don't say that, but I said you say that, then you're being an enemy to God. Now, Brother Ricky ain't on the radio trying to hurt you. Brother Ricky's trying to, if anything, this probably hurts me with the brethren, but I'm trying to preach the truth. Exodus chapter number 22, verse number 26 said, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." I just want to ask you a question. Who's on the Lord's side today? Who's on God's side? You say, "Preacher, I'm on God's side." Are you? Got a lot of sin we need to clean up in our lives, don't we? I'll put it this way. If you were brought up in front of a courtroom to be convicted as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you as a Bible-believing, fundamental Christian? Brother Ricky loves you. And more than that, God loves you. I hope the preaching has pricked you somewhere along the way today. I hope it's helped you. I hope it's helped us to realize David hated wickedness. I've been preaching about the life of David. I'm just preaching verse by verse. That's what happens when you preach verse by verse through the Bible. Amen. Sinner, you need to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, take the message and use it for your glory. I do not like preaching like this, Lord. You know I don't really. Lord, in my flesh, I don't like preaching like this. But God, I know it'll help somebody, and I pray you'll help it to help somebody. Have your will your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.